Okay, here number 44 and a quarter. Might have lost one long day, but it's here number 44 to the women, Erech Hashem. And we went back to the beginning of the third perek in the second section. And we're in the middle of the first paragraph of the third perek in the second section. Okay, so I want to say something to Mrs. Zabrowski. No, but you see, I looked up the Father's Testament. Not exactly what he said. He said that, but he said it in a different way. He compared the son to, like, the Afikoman that Hashem gave him to watch over, and then to give back to Hashem. And then he said it's customary to give back the Afikoman to the father just for a present. And therefore, this is a book for my Afikoman. It's a different nuance than the way it was said here on Wednesday.
For me, it's different. Not the
primary. That's why I went back to original speech, and he didn't see the temple in any, which is the problem I said. Well, it's because we coach. But if you're asking me, it's not. But if you ask me, I'm calling Christ. So I'm giving you back the Natsala. I watched it for you, and now I want presents. And this is the present that I want. Very, very different. Okay. You see, I take what you say seriously. I went to look up. So, very, very difference. So, where, I don't know what, if anybody has any text now, a little, as I said, of the first paragraph, and he's talking about life and the Sionos, because that's what it's about, being Bocher and Tov. He expands Tov and Ra in this parak beyond mitzvahs and averos of Tidos. And therefore, he talked about our exercise of midos is limitless. I would say we could probably think of, you know, 3 scenarios a day where I had to show patience, I did not get angry, and I had to, you know, swallow my neck, and, you know, a whole gamut of midos. And this is designed in my life to bring out my avodas amidos, and he said it's almost incomprehensible to think of the billions of permutations and nuances and possibilities. But this is what, if you have, I don't know, if you have a time of time of Hashem, or time briefly over on page, as I can do. And he says, "Hupugudoso masol bol mazeh." This is, we don't think of it that way, as I said. We think of my life as my life. And I have a normal life, like everybody else, like the Goyim, you know. I have a normal life. What I mean is, like, what happens, happens, and I have to cope with it, and I have to do Bechira, and I have to be Bocher B'Tov, and turn away from Ra, and that's it. I have to, life is an obstacle course, so to speak. Well, it is, but it's much deeper. It's an obstacle course, because an obstacle course is the, right, it's not a smooth road where obstacles pop up, and I'm being tested to see how I will deal with the obstacles. But it's like an obstacle course, meaning it's designed. And every person who was ever born, every person that exists, has their own personal trainer, Hashem, and they get an obstacle course designed for what they are supposed to accomplish. Right? 3 people can go into a gym, and one person has to work on cardiovascular stuff, and one person has to work on muscle tone, and one person has to lose fat. And there's 50 machines there, and each machine is designed for a different purpose. So each person is a personal trainer will say, okay, if you have that machine, that's not what you need. You're in the gym for cardiovascular stuff. You're in the gym for this or that. That's what Hashem does. Hashem designs life, and everything is another piece of very, very specific equipment for my neshama, and maybe it's cardiovascular, maybe. The truth is, even if we just limit it to mitzvahs and averos, without bringing in Nidos, we can still think of the limitless possibilities that exist in every person's life, whether it's the desire of doing it earlier or later, or doing it with Kavana, or doing it as Shema, or not doing it for Schar, or not doing it for Kavod, or not doing it for social standing, or doing it with Shema. And like all the things we learn about Mishar Cheshman HaNefesh and Lachar HaZalos, there's enough nuances in the objective mitzvahs and averus to have every person's life designed differently. This person has to struggle with atzlus, so, and his design is to, his reason might be the mitzvahs, to go to an earlier minyan, right? This person is really needs to be, needs that other people should hold on them, needs to be validated by others, not self-validation, but validation in a chutz. So, here's what I'm assigning. But, certainly bringing in Midos makes it, makes the mind explode with the possibilities. And also, when things happen in life, right, when things happen in life, so you say, it's designed for that purpose. It's designed to see how I will react. So that's all different. It has a very calming effect, right? It's hard for us to believe. And of course, every day, every minute, something happens, right? You forget something, you have to go back, you go this way, you took this route, you got stuck in traffic. Everything is designed for your assignment. He names there, and that's what he says. This is his marching order for Olam Hazeh. It's not something that popped up. The order, it's deeper. You know, you can say, the things happen, I can say the sentence, these things happen in my life in order to test me. That is true on two levels, and there Hashem is saying the deeper level. It didn't just happen in order to test me. That's what my life is designed to have, these tests. And my life was designed, it's an obstacle course. My life was designed with these obstacles. That is my Kuda in this world. My Kuda in this world, we don't know what our Kuda in this world is. But we think in terms of headlines, in terms of you know, people who make yeshivas, people who do great things and get into the newspapers, and we don't think of that in my life I'm supposed to conquer a certain Yetzirah, a certain Mita, and that's it. That's what I'm here for. The very my marching orders and my job description is to overcome this, and that's my Bechira, that's my Bechira Betov, and that's going to determine my level. The Tzarek Lama will be Mashu. It's not, we don't know. You know, you have to do your best. Nobody's perfect, everybody's imperfect, everybody fails, everybody struggles, everybody fails, nobody's perfect. So, Kimashu, wherever he's holding, whatever he's capable of doing, he has to be able to do. If you do Maso, he does Tilly of Torah, and his action will be judged to be Hamaso based on the burden. Hashem, he can go to MS by Hashem, the Chopo, he knows of the Tachos Addicto. It's really, really mind boggling. In other words, things might happen that we're not really expected to overcome, you know, because it's beyond the level that we're on. So only Hashem knows, and we have to work. It's like the servants of the king line up. They're all there to carry out the will of the king. King has many servants, right? I don't have to. We don't know, but it's Ki'ilu he's saying, I don't have to. I'm not necessarily put into this world to be the greatest Torah scholar, and the biggest Baal Tzedaka, and the biggest Baal Midos, and the biggest Gomel Chasodim, and, you know, that's everybody. Hashem's avoda is everybody together working for the king. And everybody has his task. That's what he's saying. And nobody knows. So, you know, you can't retreat when I don't need a bed and say, this is not for me. Let someone else do this. If you're capable and it falls on your plate. If it doesn't fall on your plate, I don't know if you have to go search for it. I don't know. It's a very difficult shiloh. Right? How much does a person have to be proactive in creating institutions, let's say, or in creating your gemah, or how much will a person be proactive? Everybody has their own tackle. Everybody has their own job. Everybody has their own obstacles. And the Avodas HaMelech, which is found to be in the Chibro, so that will be the conglomerate of everybody working. Everybody is charged with the Avoda that's been given to him or her. And, that he's successful, that will be his char. Achmidus achilik azel drachom is gavim old me'asor hoseinu. This is so mind-boggling. It's something that we can't even begin to fathom the complexity of the nuances. Because I have to interact with other people too. So everybody's life has to fit in with another person's life, who wants to work together, it has to mesh like gears on a machine. The Yeshulon Lamar land came a Chachmah Elyonah, and it's God we call Seichel. This is for Hashem, not for us. Everything is exactly measured in fair measurements. Okay, now it goes even deep. Now it's a headache now, hopefully, going up even more than it. He says, now we're up to paragraph 2. So we're up to section 2, paragraph 3, paragraph 2. Now he says, remember what we learned in the first section. That everything that happens here really is only the manifestation and the ramification of something that's happening in Shemayim. So if I'm stuck in a traffic jam and Hashem is testing my patience, well, maybe, you know, so that's really happening in Shemayim. And Shemayim is waiting to see what they think. Remember, everything that happens has its shorash, Kamala, has its spiritual source. And it filters down into this world. And things are our Bechira, so the connection is still there, the chain. The chain is still there, but the chain goes up, not down. I affect Shemayim. Shemayim doesn't affect me. It's evil of the spiritual forces of the universe. It's not Keilu, as what Ramchal says. The spiritual forces of the universe are waiting to see what I do, and I will yank the chain down here. And then it goes up, and then it goes back down again with the totsa'ot, the ramifications, the ripple effect of what's in Shemayim. Everything that happens on here is a ripple effect in Shemayim. But things that are Bechira things, so it goes up and then down. I affect what happens in Shemayim, I yank the chain down here. Things that are not Bechira, they originate in Shemayim. And they are mishtalshel lamata. But things that are bechira, they originate here, they go up, and they cause whatever effect they have in the spiritual realm, let's say it's a mitzvah. So it affects in the spiritual realm, it gives koach to certain malachim, let's say, and good things happen up in Shemayim, and then it comes back down again, and it happens here.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, let's say the choice is to eat chocolate or vanilla. So that comes from Shemayim Dam, chocolate or vanilla ice cream, and it's determined what you're going to choose. That's not the Kira, because it's not between good and bad. But if it were between...
If we assume it's not good and bad, chocolate has more calories.
Okay.
You see, again, we've talked about this. The Chayus Halvavus holds that they're, at least on a theoretical basis. We said, I go into the store and I mindlessly choose chocolate or vanilla, I'm not exercising my Bechira. But the Chayus Halvavus says, really, everything's Bechira. Because everything's Tov and Ra. And maybe we're not that mindful of everything we do. But if I would be, I'd walk into the store and I'd say, I like chocolate more, and I'm going to be misnayig now with a trap of precious. I'm not exactly what you'd call a porous, but I'm going to be misnayig with a trap of precious. I'm going to buy the vanilla. I don't like that as much. I'm going to do a little precious. Or I'm going to say I'm buying this ice cream for Shabbos, and therefore I'm going to buy the chocolate, even though it's more expensive, because I'm honoring the Shabbos more. So. But again, we don't. But you're right. I keep saying Bechir is only Tov and Ra. And most people, when they go into Ziploc, what's that store's name?
The ice cream store.
What? The ice cream store you see all around. Zislik, something like that. So most people are not really being Bechir Tov and Ra. So that means. Like I told you the story with my car, with the route I take. So if it's not Tov and Ra, so it's happening from Shemayim. Why Shemayim cares? Like, why is there something with chocolate and vanilla? We don't even know. I go back to the manufacturer. I told you, I used to say, it might go back to the manufacturer. This company manufactures chocolate, this company manufactures vanilla, he has more business. He makes more profit, he's supposed to make more profit on Rosh Hashanah with Nigzar. I used to always say, because I firmly believe that it's true, that of course Hashem determines who wins a ball game. And people giggle when they say that. That's normally the reaction. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, whatever. But of course he does. And then one day I found out, like, whoa, people are betting on the games. And there's a lot of money involved here. And certainly Hashem's taking it to Hezron, everybody's money. And then my son told me that he has a brother-in-law that, I don't know, it's not pennies. He buys tickets, that he sells them, and like it's a huge nafkamina if there's a 7-game series or a 6-game series. Like if it's a 7-game series, he makes a lot of money because he bought up all those tickets. And now he sells them, but if it's only a 5-game series, he just lost $20,000. Like that. And if it's a 7-game series, he just made $50,000. Like that. So, wow. So I said, my son told me this, and he told me this for this reason. He says, you always say that. So of course Hashem's maneuvering who should win the game. And that's only one person. He's not the only person in the world that does that, right? Thousands of people that did that. So, of course, I shouldn't. So we don't know. But it could have to do with the store. It could have to do with the manufacturer of the chocolate. It could have to do with the children. Right? Anyway, yeah. So, what was the question?
Assuming that it's not the hero. Okay, that it's a choice.
Assuming it's not Bechira, so it goes to the top down.
It's just top down and that's it. But if it was a Bechira choice, then it's from the bottom to the top and then down again.
Right. If it's not a Bechira choice, there are spiritual forces, we don't know what to call them. Down here we call it chocolate and vanilla. No, it's very important. This is Ramchal talked about this in the first section anyway. This is really borders on Kabbalah. Right, if chocolate is a certain is a force in Shemayim, and vanilla is a force in Shemayim, and remember, thousands of weeks. we are living in the most gross world of all of them. The most physical, the most gross, the most chomer, and like thousands of links of the chain, you get the Shemayim, and his vanillas might be pure and white. I don't know. But yeah, so it doesn't exist up there, not the one in vanilla. Let's say it's Midas Adin and Midas Arachim. Kabbalists, now you know why Kabbalists, I don't have all the years, they know this stuff. So they know, and if the force, and Hashem is deciding history, and Hashem is deciding the forces in the world, and if the missiles are going to knock out the chemicals, this and that, everything happens in Shemayim. And it's Bechira, so then it goes up first. We determine what, it's like a very simple difference. In the Bechira, we determine what happens in Shemayim. Shemayim is like waiting around for us to determine what's going to happen. But the physics is still from Shemayim to down here. It's just with Bechira, so it's a two-way street. We determine what happens up there, and then it comes back down as the physicality that we experience. So, when he begins, so everything I described to you in the first paragraph is only half the story. He yos and yoni ha'olam kulam nimshachim and atokim mishchausulos v'inyan l'inyan v'mitziyusam v'nivdolim, that's the transcendent up there, av mitziyusam v'gashmiyam, that's us, k'mon shu v'chana v'yel v'chelak ala perakei, v'inei, so then when you say, am I going to get angry on that? There's a force in Shemayim. Malachim forces in Shemayim that are waiting to see who gets pumped up, who gets charged. The forces of good, because I did not get angry, so that travels up and gives koach. Right? That's why, according to the Ramchal, very specific spiritual physics. When we, there's a war, we do things with schus the soldiers, or with schus the army, but there's a chola, and we do things with schus. So there's a, it's not just, okay, I did a good deed. I mean, on a simple level, I did a good deed, and I want a reward, and I want the reward to be the chola should be cured. But according to the Ramchal, it's not but, according to Ramchal, it follows, again, it's like the difference between a kid walking in and say, when I flip the light switch, the light goes on, which is true, but he has no idea what goes on to make the light go on when he flips that switch. He thinks that the switch is connected to the light, and that's what happens. And anybody with a little understanding of electricity and the electric grid, and what a switch is, and how a light works, is like way, way more complicated than that. But the kid has no idea. He goes, oh, this switch light goes on, this switch down light goes off. And it's true. So the same thing here. Even on the level where I do a mitzvah, and there's a schuss. But the Rav's like, no, this force is in Shemayim. It's not, when America decides to attack Syria, each nation has a Sarah Ramallah. And Hashem is in charge of history. So Hashem tells the Tsar of America to go to war against the Tsar of Syria. Maybe to punish him, maybe not. So, yeah. And now there's something going on in Shemayim. And then it's Mishkal Shale down here as America attacking Syria. Now, if it's important that their attack be successful, so I will do a mitzvah and I will give koach to the forces, and I am directing the koach that I'm creating, the koach that I'm giving the malachim, to new oz lelokim, we say in davening. I'm giving oz lelokim to evil, because it's bechira, and I'm starting down here. So I'm doing it with schus, doing it with schus before shleima. So I'm giving, the refuah shleima is going to be determined in shemayim. Not going to be determined by the doctors, it's not going to be determined by the doctors, so it's going to be determined up there. So my bechira will, since it's Chazal tell us that stoka tatsu limodas, one example out of millions. So I will give stoka, and that's tatsu limodas, so it goes up, and it gives koach to the forces of chiyus, of life, and then it travels back down, and the operation is successful. So that's what he's saying here. It's much more complicated than when I told you in paragraph one. Because I didn't include Shemayim in paragraph one. I left out that whole Mareches Shemayim, and that's what he's saying now. So, Hinei Kola Yonam Ha'elu Perotei Nisyonos Shavadam, in front of the traffic jam, all the Nisyonos, Maschil Shorash B'chinosum Ben Izdolim, Lufi HaMetzias HaShayim Fram B'tikim V'kilkul, Kamosh Masafu L'malo, Lufi and Yonam Sham, B'idonim, B'idonim, so there is where things are Niskan, are fixed, or Niskalkel, flawed, ruined. To come all the way, trickle, trickle, trickle down. Everything, all the whole Metzius, the whole of history, everything that happens in the world, is covered. If it's not all in the chira, Hashem chooses whatever is most appropriate. I imagine if someone has a little understanding of computers, they can appreciate, like, you know, I'm striking a key here and things are happening, but it's so tremendously, tremendously complex. This is back and forth. Okay, so that's even more complicated. Paragraph Gimel. Nimsa, bottom line, let's see, Hashorish Hazem. Shahatzlachas Olam Hazem. Mitzorosov, Yelche, Lishay Yenuse, Bom Odom, Mechelke, Hanesoyon, Shishira, Achachma.
Meaning, since I have now established that everything that happens to me in my life is for the purpose of me being bolcher, it's for the purpose of me either overcoming in the soil, being bolcher, overcoming my natural atzlus, you know, overcoming my tendency to get angry, the cool. So that's it. Everything is, nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Everything that happens is geared towards what I'm supposed to accomplish in this world. Okay. As I said, this is what you should have said. Everything happens in the world. Everything. 15%. Everything's tailor-made for my life. And that's another reason why you can't look at other people. Because everything's tailor-made for my life, my co-host, my abilities. What I was sent down to this world for.
I was sent down to this world not to get angry. Another person was sent down to this world not to be lazy. Another person might have been sent down to this world to overcome his to be a masmid, to sit and learn Gemara non-stop. Okay. Now, so Okay, that's one way of looking at it. He's really going to focus now on why it's so big and that it's tough. Sometimes I'm good. So till now you say, okay, because that's what happens in my life. I'm supposed to struggle with this inyan, and that's why this is happening to me. Because this is exactly, I am living my life now the way I'm supposed to live it. I'm supposed to react to the poverty, and I'm supposed to react to whatever it is. Now he's saying there's another explanation why some people have a more pleasant life than others, why some people have it easier than others, or at least it certainly looks that way. So till now he explained it because everybody's life is supposed to include and involve a number of the Sionot, so based on however my life is playing itself out, that's how I'm being bocher, and that's going to determine my osid. Now he's saying that there could be another cheshbon involved. Al pi darkei hamishpat v'hagemul. It's a paragraph dalit, section 2, parag gimel, paragraph dalit, fourth paragraph. Yomna v'otsim v'nemtos l'hem al pi darkei hamishpat v'hagemul v'hu ki ne'gozer hashom et ha'oni yuzborach. What is he saying here? This is really a little, I don't know if it's a chiddush or not. We don't usually think this way, but this is what he's saying here. And again, I'll give a hakdama because you see, David HaMelech davens in so many places that Hashem should help him do mitzvahs, Hashem should help him learn Torah. I'm like, what do you want from Hashem? What are you asking Hashem for? He's saying in life, let's say a person does not have parnasa issues. Hashem, it might be, again, we're never privy. It might be that Hashem knows that if this person had parnasa issues, let's say a man, if he had parnasa issues, he wouldn't crack open a safer at all. Okay. To worry, doesn't he can't deal with, okay, I'll find out tomorrow where my next penny's coming from, it's okay. He can't handle it. So he is given money, he's given wealth, or at least to be well off, in order to make it easier for him to be omed in his misyonos, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to. No way. Some people don't need that. So they are poor and they're expected to grow, and even though they're poor, they could handle that situation. And the same with Rishon, in the reverse. So Hashem might tailor your life to make your siyata d'shmaya of doing mitzvahs easier or harder. That's what he's saying now, paragraph Dalit. V'amma moshiva acheres nimtus lam alpidaki ha-mishmat v'agamul v'hu ki ne'goz v'ashofit ha'olin yuzborach. As a result of what I do, I will receive siyata d'shmaya l'hokel l'asodech l'imusa, to make it easier for me to achieve, my shleimus, v'atzilum and hamechsholim, saving me from the obstacles. Kenyan shenema rabbi chasidim yishbar, a very bold statement. And why does that happen? Because I deserve it to happen. It's a schar for the mitzvahs that I do. I deserve that Hashem should snatch me away from the temptation that I'm in. So, ordinarily, you don't dive into that. But here is an element of deserving it, and therefore you could. Countless nuances and levels. Ki motzi echad shushurus adin titik v'imazo. Shekvar also, based on his actions, si yazvei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ezer ma'at, a little help. V'achar shedinu yir she yazvei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ezer yosu gadol, he can't handle it, so he has more siyad of Ishmaya. V'yoko v'yolav asokas ha'shlemus kalus rav.
The Acher, the third person, she a royal Ozer Yosef Gadol. Imamish gets a lot of help. V'chein behepach. Or Yimotzi Mishik V'yadin Yeroi. V'lo Yosru Men HaShemayim. They won't help him. V'lo Yakshu all of us others. Shleimus. They won't help him, but they won't hinder him. V'acher and someone else. V'mishpato Yetzai. She Yirbu Lo Yikuvim. People have a lot of obstacles to climb over. It's sort of like he's a god of a more rabbat, as he got it, and he has to really keep at it. So, after she rush on Gomor, she is successful before him called Baki Hatikon. He doch it for also, and so he's Mufka, and he, nothing's going to affect his spiritual life anymore. So now he might get it good, because to pay him back all of his, various and all of so he might get his reward that way. So it might be a siyata d'shmaya to help him and his avodas Hashem. We have to know Ben Aslamus, but he has to climb that wall. She starts like Yeser Amon, the Yeser to Rechlin Koas Hamachitza Amu to bring past that Machitza. Wait, well, his Samets in culture also, he has to break through, he has to look beyond his poverty and be Master Kishlamus, Uncle Bonham, and it's much harder for him. And that's why everybody's different, everybody has their own mountains to climb. Sometimes Hashem sends wealth and sends a slacha to a Russia because this way Hashem doesn't want him, so to speak, to be sorry to do tshuva. He's like, he's finished, he's gone, he's beyond the pale. So he gets it good. Because nothing is a wake up call to him. That's why she's all Tzoros, with Noah also been a Resha, she has been a Glasses. But say, Yikha Shehid Amnaga Elion, she roi loi soi her Resha, she has a Mishama, the Gemara sometimes talk about different Averis that Chnath figures did, that the Gemara describes it as, ain't roi loi soi Maisa, really, he normally wouldn't have done such a thing. But she maneuvered it to show people that you can do tshuva. So that's what it could be. It could be helping him to achieve shleimus, it could be hindering him to achieve shleimus. So some people are like, you give him a blow at the first night. Okay, I think we'll stop here with the Well, you wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, I mean, he described very clearly that you could never really know. Like, a tzaddik could be getting a really difficult time, and a Russia could be having it easy, you know, or vice versa, or whatever.
Yeah, like, so in the first section, he said the simple Bahalik is that the Russia is receiving his reward and all of that.
Right.
And the tzaddik is being punished for his sins and all of that.
Right.
Now he's suggesting a different thing. You know, the tzaddik is getting obstacles to make it harder for him to achieve shleimus. Maybe as a favor to him, because that will get more schar when he has to climb the big wall to achieve shleimus.
Right.
Maybe that's what his neshama needs to do. The Russia has it easy, and he's still not doing mitzvahs, and he has it easy. He's doing the mitzvahs. So it's another rationale. We don't know. You know, so what's the purpose of wording it? We don't know.
Right. So like it's very like
it's a philosophical
what can
word.
A person
do? A person
see, though, this well, is very hard to be person,
first of all, people have sorrows every single day.
Right.
So the first thing is to say, I learned my chal today, and this was supposed to happen to see how I will react. And Hashem is watching my reaction because that's why the Tzorah happened. Well, that's like a paradigm shift in life.
Suppose I once spoke about this on Shabbos Shuvah, Russia, and the next day, which was a Sunday, someone calls me up, and they said that somebody just spilled hot tea all over him, and normally he would have, yelled at the guy and I'd wipe the floor with him. And he remembered the drasha, which was pretty amazing in itself. And he said that this happened in order to see how I will react. That's the purpose of it happening. So that's probably the most major thing. That's the most major thing. Then you can deal with it on a different level also. But this is my nisayon, tailor made for my neshama. This is bringing out the kohos that I have. I have to reach my potential, so this is what I have to overcome. Are you asking a question? You say, yeah, we don't know.
No, it's just so, it makes it so difficult for a person to be incentivized to try, to do mitzvahs and do good and do everything when it's so confusing and you don't see
the justice. I don't understand what you just said. I don't understand what you just said.
Okay.
Yeah, if the person looks at doing mitzvahs, if the person sees the gemula of mitzvahs as being the life of Olam HaZeh, then I agree, it would be very confusing. And that's why the Jew has to have the emuna that the real place is Olam HaZeh. And if the Jew really thought that way, which we don't, because if we did, we would ask Hashem for Yisurim, we would ask Hashem for the difficulties, because they're either going to be my punishments, my abeyers in this world, so I don't have to suffer in the next world, I don't have to go to Gehenna. I can go straight into Olam Haba. Or it's going to bring out my potential in overcoming these difficulties, so I'll cash in Olam Haba. You're right, it's confusing when you... That's what the negate of the learning of Chal. That we have to get rid of the idea that...
can understand anything.
No, that it will result in a more pleasant life in all of us. Uh-huh. And so there is a possibility, that David HaMelech was mispowered for, that Hashem should at least remove the obstacles to my search for shleimus. And if I do mitzvahs, so there's a certain dynamic where if I do mitzvahs, my schar is that Hashem removes obstacles for me to do more mitzvahs. That's your mitzvah gereris mitzvah. He doesn't say it. That can be another interpretation of mitzvah gereris mitzvah. That I have the schus, that obstacles are removed, that it's easier for me to do mitzvahs. When you get to the next world, when we all get to the next world, the little of Avigdor Miller says countless times, we may feel, boy, was I foolish that I wanted it easy. I see now the difference between struggling and not struggling is the difference between regular steering and power steering. It's like a major difference. So foolish. I lived in this world for, let's say, 120 years. It's a blink of an eye compared to eternity. So it was a little more pleasant for me, a little more easy for me to do mitzvahs. What a fool I am. If I had a choice, I would say, bring it on, Hashem, right? You say, soccer to me. Give me a swim. That's what it is. We know, because we're all like that. Because we're living in this world, and pain hurts, and we don't like bad things to happen. It's really a hashkaf, and we don't wish bad things on anyone, and we're not supposed to. I mean, Rav Steinman tells when the person came to apologize to him for talking bad about him, he said, I want to thank you, the Shlach says, and we all have to use this once in a while in our lives. I think it was the Shlach, it says that one of the most beneficial things in the world is someone talks about you and hurts you with their speech. That's the best thing in the world. It wipes away a lot. He says, I want to thank you. But it's hard to live. We don't live like that, of course. I don't know. So what was your question?
Whatever. That's enough of an answer.
It's, you know, confusing. Maybe we shouldn't learn Dar Hashem. It just confuses. And we should just learn, you know, we all know what we're supposed to do, what's right. And stay away from what's wrong. Take the Silas Hasharim. There's also a cow, so you won't be insulted. But what is Silas Hasharim? What are you supposed to do? I just started waking up early to learn Daf Yomi. And 3 days later, I got fired from my job. And, what is going on? So, this helps you cope with that. Okay?
That's why I'm so happy that my foot got re-injured.